RCR with Paul Brennan.
I think it's fair to say that many people were taken by surprise after the announcement by Trump, a shock announcement, fair to say, that the US would own Palestine or the Gaza Strip. So what does this all mean? Is this 5D chess being played or something else? To talk about this, it's my great pleasure to welcome back Dr. Greg Simons, who is with the Department of Journalism, Media and Communication, now at Daffodil International University in Dhaka, Bangladesh. And Greg, great to have you back in 2025, and I'm sure you're looking forward to your new role in Bangladesh.
Yeah, cheers, Paul. Yeah, new year, new life.
Yeah, okay. Well, good luck with that. All right. I want to start by reading this post from Trump. There's been quite a few, but this is the latest. And I'm reading it from X. The Gaza Strip would be turned over to the United States by Israel at the conclusion of fighting. The Palestinians, and then he says people like Chuck Schumer, would have already been resettled in a far safer and more beautiful community with new and modern homes in the region. They would actually have a chance to be happy, safe, and free. The US, working with great development teams from all over the world, would slowly and carefully begin the construction of what would become one of the greatest and most spectacular developments of its kind on Earth. No soldiers by the US would be needed. Stability for the region would reign. What do you make of that?
Well, it depends if you take it literally or you understand it as something else. I mean, those who take it literally, well, their heads will explode because, I mean, under what jurisdiction, under what mandate do you do that? So not to mention all the logistics. How do you move 1.9 million people from a devastated area around a lot of places who don't want the Palestinians? They've said outright they don't want. And of course, that would ensure that Israel's ethnic cleansing is brought about. So, I mean, at this stage, I mean, that would increase the US participation in one of the, well, in the largest ethnic cleansing which has taken place for a long time as a direct participant. So, and this is why you have the reporters with their mouths hitting the floor and not looking quite sure what to say. But then the thing which I found interesting, and it might bring in this second part, this what you talk about, these 5D chess. I mean, did you see Netanyahu's reaction?
I was going to ask you what you made. Yes, I did. And many people have been analysing with close-ups, the hand movements,
yep,
the facial expressions, the kind of overall body language.
Oh,
I would
yes.
Say, I don't know how experienced I am in interpreting all that. But it's hard to know.
Well, you look at Netanyahu, he was actually, he was completely taken by that. He had no idea. And you just look, he was holding on to the lectern. His hands, his knuckles are going white.
Right.
From grabbing hold of that. So,
do you think that Trump pulled a move on him?
Yes, absolutely. Because he was blindsided, Netanyahu. And you've got to understand, although Trump adheres to this Zionism and this Israel, friend of Israel, all of this kind of stuff, he doesn't like Netanyahu. They clash. So although the causes in terms of Israel Zionism might jive, the personal chemistry is very far from it. And yeah, I mean, Trump doesn't like what he considers another alpha in the room as well. And you can see that. He is really rubbing this guy up the wrong way, Netanyahu. And I mean, he has experience in doing it. I mean, this was like watching one of those old, you know, The Apprentice, where you had some wet behind the ears, 20-something-year-old guy who's just been absolutely blindsided and humiliated. And Trump looks like the big guy. A lot of posturing, a lot of bravado, a lot of attention and publicity. And this is what he thrives on. And, of course, he threw the press into a tailspin because, how do they manage to get around this? And as I say, I mean, you look at the press gallery. I mean, I was shocked. You actually had some mainstream journalists actually trying to do what journalists should do and ask appropriate questions. So, I mean, they got shocked into doing their job for the first time. I don't know since when.
Can we look at two possible scenarios here? Okay, let's start with October 7th and what that unleashed on all sides. And that's ended with basically, as Trump has said, we've seen the pictures, probably the world's biggest demolition site of all time. It's just horrific to see. It looks like every building has been destroyed. And you could make an argument for, and some people are, letting that October 7th attack take place, and then calculating that from that over a period of time, that it would result in basically wiping out Gaza to that demolition site that we see now and displacing all the people. And it's just a matter of time. I mean, the queue to go in to start that was the October 7th event. So there's that. Or on the other side, you've bungled an operation so badly, or you've set something up that's backfired, slapped you in the face, and you never thought that Trump would be, or a Trumpian figure would ever be back, and it would be business as usual. Trump comes back, and I guess the only way to then draw a line under this terrible situation is for, in the 5D chess sort of thinking, is to pull a move like this, which basically it could draw a line under the whole thing. But does he mean that Palestinians return to this land once all these beautiful housing projects have been done and they live in peace and everything sort of marches on a sort of, a beautiful thing? So which one is more likely, do you think? An Israeli set up to get to this, to have a move like Trump's made, or Trump has come in and gone, enough, I know what you're up to, and here's what we're going to do, and there's nothing they can do about it.
What I think this is, and this would be typical of Trump if you look at his performance so far, and if you look at the last time around. I mean, if you remember those, what the media were calling the bromance with Kim Jong-un, where you had this tough talk banter, which is going around. So this, I mean, if you look at it in that kind of a rather coercive diplomacy, because I mean, under Biden did nothing. I mean, you had Blinken saying that he, I mean, in these cabinet meetings with the Israeli cabinet. I mean, who was he serving?
Well,
Was
he was
it
a
the
dual
US
citizen as
or
well, wasn't
Israel?
he? He was also a citizen of Israel, yeah.
And so, I mean, of course, there, I mean, Biden, I mean, if you assume that he had any kind of faculty to understand where he was, what he was doing, was absolutely out of control. He was control. So, I mean, this would seem, if you look at it logically, the first salvo of a negotiation. This is the opening negotiation.
And
You
you
come
always
to
throw
the,
the most extreme position, don't you? Because you work
yes,
back from
yeah.
that. It's classic, isn't it?
And it's not behind closed doors, it's in front of the press. So now Netanyahu's in a really difficult position because there's no way that Israeli public would accept the Americans occupying Gaza for an indefinite period. I mean, that's a slap in the face for what they've been doing. I mean, this is part of the Greater Israel, which I was mentioning from not long after October 7th. So that's an impossible position. So now, I mean, it's up to him to counter, come back with a counter offer. How he does that, I am not sure. But I mean, this I think is to kick start the process because there was no incentive for Netanyahu to negotiate with a foreign power. I mean, And Netanyahu is backed in the corner, so okay, he's got some public opinion relief now that he actually made the hostage exchange. He got some reprieve, but that's not going to be long lived.
Well, wait
And
on,
so,
you mentioned the hostages. The
yeah.
footage I saw, and I mean, I'm a world away. The latest number of hostages that have been released looked very healthy. They didn't look like they'd been starved or abused.
No.
Some had quite positive things to say about the way they were treated
Yeah.
and the discourse between them and their hostage takers or
Captors.
captors. So that sort of went against, because the hostage, in many conversations I've had with people, this hostage thing always came up. And
Yeah.
indeed, I've talked with our foreign minister, and it was all about, well, if the hostages are released, da-di-da-di-da. And it was painted as, you know, they were in dungeons and being starved to death and chained to the wall. It doesn't seem to have been the case.
Well, not for the Israeli hostages, for the
I'm talking about the
Palestinian
Israeli
ones.
hostages.
I
Yeah,
would
yeah.
say it's, yeah, pretty close to
Yeah, so it was a curious thing. Now,
it.
Netanyahu has problems, doesn't he? That
Yeah.
at home, and also I believe his health is not good.
No,
And
he looked quite sickly when he is standing up there, like, and I would say that's due to stress. I mean, you just look at his body language and face. I mean, that's a guy who's been run through the ringer, and it's taking the toll on him psychologically.
well, Trump may have made a calculation that you won't be around for long.
I don't think so. He's going to be arrested for corruption by the Israeli police, or I mean, yeah, there's something is going. He's not. I mean, they talk about him being a survivor, but a cat only has nine lives, so to speak. And
The cooperation needed for Trump's plan from other states in the area, Egypt, Jordan, if people are to leave this land for the great redevelopment project, got to go somewhere. So, do you think it's a likely scenario that if this is enacted and goes ahead, that the population will be accommodated somewhere? He must have lined those ducks up. Or is that, again, part of the 5D chess? You throw this thing out there and you force people to then react and hopefully bend to your will.
yeah, I think this is shock factor. I don't think it's been thoroughly discussed because, I mean, the Arab states, they don't want Palestinians there because they upset the political and ethnic balance in their own countries. I mean, look at Jordan. I mean, that is a classic example. And of course, they're not going to go to Syria. And the fact that Israel's occupying more and more of Syria, taking its water sources and things like this, and HTS is vowing not to attack Israel in spite of being, I mean, Giuliani was the deputy of al-Baghdadi, the head of ISIS, and he was the founder of al-Qaeda Syria. So, I mean, and yet, they're not going to go to war or defend Syrian soil against Zionists, which I find rather interesting.
The concept of owning, because Trump mentioned that, we will
Yeah.
own. I think the word own was used. It's an interesting word to use, isn't it? What does that actually mean? Does that actually mean own, or again, it's putting something out there that's kind of checkmate in a way,
Yeah, it's got a kind of permanent ring to
and
it.
Netanyahu just stands there and what, own? It's very interesting use of that word, I thought.
Yes. No, I mean, Trump's a showman. And he has brought in the elements of that apprentice into politics. both nationally speaking and internationally speaking. It's the spectacle. And of course, he's at the center of this spectacle, which is where he likes to be. Of course, it plays up to the domestic constituency, the base, who are, cheering him on because, America is at the center of the stage. It's
Leadership.
like Joe any longer,
Yeah.
kind of
Guess
falling
that's right.
upstairs and that this Kamala Harris cackling like some kind of hyena. So you have very different dynamics. So, I mean, it's the rhetoric value of this, and that this is where the value is. The publicity, maybe the result comes later. And as I say, I mean, for me, I mean, this seems to be the beginnings of a negotiation. I mean, Netanyahu refused to negotiate with Biden. Biden threatened to cut off this, cut off that, never did. Of course, now, I mean, he's not threatening to cut anything off, but he's publicly challenged Netanyahu in a very open and very, I would say, in an insulting way, because you just see those facial expressions and grimaces. He looked like a person who really didn't want to be there listening to that, wanted to escape. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, this is what I think the intention is: appeal to his base, but also it appeals somewhat to those who are calling for a stop to this genocide and ethnic cleansing. Of course, it's not going to appeal to Palestinians too much because what he's talking about is taking away their homeland, which is, I mean, since time. So that's not going to be popular, but it also, I mean, people notice because even though if you notice he was pushing in the pulling out and pushing in the chair for Netanyahu while he is
Yeah, I
sitting,
was going to mention that,
which implies a kind of subordinate status. I mean, this implies something quite the contrary.
yeah. Yeah, well, that was sort of, you could see that as part of the ramp up to what was about to come. There have been people questioning donations to his campaign. $100 million is the figure. That surely isn't enough in money terms for someone. I think in 2016, his tax return was 136 million income, personal income for the year. So 100 million to Trump is really not that much money.
I mean, money he doesn't really care about. I think he's after prestige, status, legacy. I think this is what he's going for. It's the kind of personality he is. This mighty Trump, and he's definitely refined some of those tactics he tried in 2016 after the 2016 election victory. I mean, so you can see he's learned quite a lot from that last debacle as the first term president. So I think, yeah, that this he has the privilege that he's not going to be going for re-election. He can't. So I mean, he's got well, 4 years to create havoc and set a legacy for himself, not only in the United States, but globally speaking.
Do you think he needs to clarify? And we're just about to wind up. Do you think he needs to clarify that there will be a return? Well, he indicated that it would sort of kind of be a global area. You know, the people of the world could live there, I think is the way he put it. But obviously, for many, it's a Palestinian homeland. And he said that includes Palestinians. If he can make the case or sell it, and I guess that's what Trump does. Sell it that in a way that Palestinian people and the wider sort of global population who have a strong opinions about this that once redeveloped will be available to them again. Do you think that nullifies the ethnic cleansing?
No, I don't think it does because that's already been carried out.
Well, Israel did that.
Yes, with US help, of course, because without the weapons and so forth, they wouldn't have been able to.
So that's already happened. The
Yeah.
cleansing bit has happened.
Yes. But I mean, this would be the final ethnic cleansing. This would be a complete one. And of course, you can say blah, blah, blah. Maybe they can return in the future. But the point is, what leverage do you have to ensure that they can come back after you've already cleansed them from the area? I mean,
Well, they attempted to come back. There's those
oh, they
pictures.
have come back. Yeah. They're going back, even though the conditions are absolutely abhorrent. So I think that this is not, he's not planning in a detailed manner for the future. This is like a soundbite for the moment. He's winging it and off on all kinds of tangents to get the most attention and publicity, which is why if you link all the things together, they don't really add up. I mean, this is to put Trump in the center of the stage in a very spectacular way, and to show that because I mean he made a lot of boastful comments in the election, and I will end the Ukraine war in 24 hours. Blah blah blah. Yeah.
Well,
Well,
that's another
okay.
example of that. You throw an out, well, some might say an outrageous proposition ahead of what is about to happen, and then you, it's classic, again, negotiation, isn't it? You put out a position that you can never get, but then you can work back to something that you can get that would have been more difficult to reach if you started with your weakest position.
I mean, this is how he does it. I mean, it is like, I mean, he said to Putin indirectly all these stupid things. Oh, Russia's lost 1 million dead. No.
No.
Ukraine almost has.
Yes.
That's about 600,000. And oh, you know, we helped Russia in World War II. Well,
It's the other way around.
and we will force, I think he said he will force a peace deal on the 9th of May, if I remember correctly,
He's put a date on it for
which
some reason.
is the biggest. No, there is a very clear reason for this, and this is the reason why it'll fail. May 9th is Victory Day for the Russians.
Well, that's why he pulled that out of the hat.
The defeat of Nazi Germany. This
There was
wasn't
a
pulled out of
reason
the
that
hat
he used that
randomly.
date, right?
Yes.
There was a reason he used that date, then.
It's Victory Day for the Russians. I mean, that'll just stop any kind of negotiation. Russians have the upper hand anyway. So, and now he's just insulted them. So, what are you going to do? Go to
Yeah, mind
war?
you, Rocket Man, we're going to blow you off the face of the earth. The next moment, we're shaking hands in the demilitarized
No, I mean,
zone
this
and
is how he
everyone's
does
happy.
it. Yeah, he goes all over the place, but Russians have a longer memory and they hang on to things longer. So, this will be a bit of a different case. And you can't bluster in this case. I mean, what are you going to bluster with the world's largest nuclear armed country and one which is now fully and utterly trained and experienced in fighting NATO equipment and NATO trained troops?
And seems to have a grasp on the psychology of the West.
Absolutely. Yep.
I think we'll have another chat about what's happening in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And people would have seen possibly clips. I haven't watched the whole thing of Piers Morgan with Volodymyr Zelensky, which from the few clips I saw, I think will make interesting viewing of the whole thing. But that's for another chat. But just to finish up on this one, any anticipation or prediction from you, maybe it's too hard to do that, of the next move following the developments re Gaza over the weekend? What do you think is going to happen next?
Well, I think what Trump's done is put the ball in Netanyahu's court because he's more or less obliged to respond to those outrageous kinds of statements of fact. And I think that's the whole intention. And from there, there'll be another response in order to try and bring something about. Because Ukraine, to finish that, all the Americans need to do is just like turn off the weapon supply. I mean, they've turned off the money supply with the US aid. So the independent Ukrainian media are screaming about a lack of American government funds to remain independent.
Well, the salaries may not be paid soon. Who knows?
Exactly. And all of this. So, that'll just collapse in a pretty. When you get Bogdanov, the head of the intelligence, openly saying publicly, we're finished and we need to negotiate before summer. Otherwise, we get really, really screwed over. But Gaza is another issue. So, this is something that needs to be negotiated. Biden is utterly incapable, mentally, cognitively, every
Well,
which
they
way.
took advantage of that, didn't they? That's
Yes.
the feeling I get, that that was an opportunity for others to bypass the actual elected president and pursue goals that weren't necessarily representative of the voters of the US.
Well, contradictory to them. So that's the point.
Okay, Greg, great to catch up again. Good luck with your move, and maybe in a week or two we can talk about Ukraine, because I think there's some very interesting developments there
Yes.
to cover, which will give us a direction. Well, they could be
Yep.
finished, and how that washes up this year. In the meantime, Greg Simons, thanks for joining us again on RCR.
Cheers, Paul.